Transform your life today. Welcome to Super Coach with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is a fresh start. And the numbers to call to get coaching on having what you want and thriving in every area of your life are 866-254-1579, toll free in the United States and Canada. That's 866-254-1579. Or from outside the U.S., you can reach the show by dialing 001-760-918-4300. And as always, I want to set the table, talk a little bit about the idea of a fresh start. And I think it's a nice thing to talk about. We're still near enough to the beginning of a new year. And New Year's are one of those times where people kind of start thinking in terms of a fresh start, or if they're going to think about it, it's when they think about it. And it's sort of why we make resolutions. It's part of a fresh start. My daughter, is making some changes this year. And so we, she's starting a new school. And so we kind of created a little external fresh start. So we said, look, let's give you a fresh start. Let's, get your car fixed, your phone fixed, so that you can really just start from scratch this year, without a lot of external carryover from the outside. But what I think we overlook, and I include myself in the we, is we overlook that what really makes a fresh start is on the inside. That it's not so much, cleaning house, though that's a sort of a nice external marker of it, clearing your clutter and that kind of thing. That's sort of representative and can give us a bit of that sense of a blank page, a blank page to draw on. But really, what would it be like to have a fresh start on the inside? What would it be like to not have to be carrying around all your hurts from the past and factoring those in to how you live your life this year? What would it be like if you could start on a new project without the memory of all the projects you started on and didn't finish, or you started and failed at in the past, weren't interfering? What if you could enter into a new relationship without all the memories of the pain from the old relationship kind of coming between you and new experience being created in the moment? That's the kind of fresh start I'd like to talk about today, because that's the kind of fresh start that gives us hope. That's the kind of fresh start that lets life be more than something to get through, something to survive, something to conquer. And lets it actually be what I believe it is, which is a moment-by-moment unfolding adventure. And so in order to have a fresh start on the inside, in other words, where you're really kind of starting from nothing, but not starting from nothing as, oh, I got to go all the way back to the beginning. Starting from nothing as in starting from the creative source of life. Starting with the same potential that you were born into before life happened. It's kind of useful to have an understanding of what that blank slate is and what it is that makes it seem like it's not there anymore. What it is that makes it seem like it's covered over. And so I'd like to talk a little bit about that, and then I'd love to talk to you about it. So we've already got some callers coming in. So if you're on hold, just hang on. We're going to get you on. If you want to get in the queue, numbers to call 866-254-1579, toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, outside the U.S. 001-760-918-4300. But let me talk about this a little bit more. So what is this blank slate and what covers it? Well, we're born, and there's theories about this, but we're sort of born into a blank slate. We're born with a tabula rasa, a clean, I'm sitting here pretending I'm going to know how to translate that. It means a blank slate, something like that. Somebody can correct me on Facebook. You can go on facebook.com/mneal or just Twitter, Michael_Neal, and you can tell me what I mean. But we're born with that. You may have beliefs about karma, and I don't know. Maybe there is something that is there in the background, but essentially, it's a pretty blank slate. And then we start collecting life experience. We start thinking. And that's what draws on our tablet is thought. The energy of thought translated into thoughts starts covering our blank slate. It starts filling it. Now, when we're young, those thoughts come and go. They don't really leave a mark. You know, it's almost like you get to just turn the page and turn the page and turn the page. Or it's like ink that just fades after a couple of hours. But over time, we start to think the same thoughts again and again and again. And then those ones, they don't have a chance to fade, and they get reinforced, and they start to seem like they're written in permanent marker. And as we get older, there's more and more permanent marker, or apparently permanent marker, all over our page. And it's harder and harder to find a blank space for something new to come through. And we do it anyways, even though it's difficult, even though we've got so much crap written all over our lives, we still can often find that bit of blank space to let something new come through, but then it kind of gets caught up in the mess, in all the stuff that's up there in permanent marker, and it gets bogged down by it. And we find ourselves repeating the same patterns, or saying to ourselves, well, here I go again. Here we go again. Another relationship like this, another job like this. But here's the thing. The nature of thought is impermanent. And the nature of mind, what it is that we're drawing all this stuff on, is infinitely clear. It's like consciousness. Pure consciousness, uncontaminated by personal thinking, it's permanently clear. It doesn't leave a mark. You can play with a snow globe 1,000 times. And each time, it will go back to clear with no residue of the snowstorm that was happening inside it. That's the mind. The mind is like that snow globe. And thoughts, they're like the snow. They're not ink. They're snow. And the reason that they don't apparently clear is because we don't let them. Because we think, innocently, that they have a permanence, that they have a life outside of our thinking them. But the truth is, a thought lasts, the impact of a thought lasts exactly as long as you're thinking it. It may leave a residue if it was a stressful thought and you got lots of stress chemicals going on in your body. But once those stress chemicals clear, 6 hours is about the typical shelf life of stress chemicals in the body, there's nothing left. You have a blank slate. And when you get a blank slate, what starts to happen is one of two things. People either panic and go, oh no, what do I do? I'm flying blind. I have no reference points. Or they go, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I'm flying blind. I don't know what's going on. I got no reference points. I'm free. And it's that freedom. It's that freedom of mind that will give you your fresh start and that will give you the possibility of it being completely different this time to how it's been in the past. A completely different experience of work, a completely different experience of relationship, a completely different experience of self. And, you know, in some religious traditions, it's likened to rebirth. You know, there's a big rebirthing movement in the 70s. There's being born again has been a part of Christianity for millennia. And what they're pointing to is a universal phenomenon. This ability to clear the past, to let go of all that old thinking, and to start again. And that's the kindness of the design of us as human beings, is that built into the nature of mind is that clarity, that freedom of mind, that freedom of thought that lets us start from scratch in any moment without having to overcome the past. So I'll talk more about that in the second part of the show generally, but I'd love to talk to you. So again, numbers to call, 866-254-1579 in the U.S. and Canada, 760-918-4300 from outside the country. And we're going to begin in Las Vegas, as so many things do, talking to Beatrice. Hey, Beatrice, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi, Michael. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You are welcome.
My question to you is, I am actually doing a fresh start. I'm trying to stay focused. I'm in Las Vegas. I just recently moved in July, and I'm starting a new career in a new location. And I'm starting to question myself. It's been 6 months, and I mean, I am trying to stay focused, but at the same time, the fear is kicking in now. And I'm just trying to see if you can guide me or maybe just suggest how I can continue staying focused, because I know that.
Well, sure. Let's talk about it. Let's find out. So what do you mean when you say staying focused? Do you mean like, you know, are you trying to like walk around focused on your little finger and, you know?
Staying focused is I'm trying not to jump into a job where I am not going to be happy, make decisions. You know, I don't want to go through that lesson again. And it's beginning to be that I'm like, I can feel I'm getting a little antsy, and I'm starting to look at any jobs, like not being realistic what's going to work out for me.
Okay, so what do you think the lesson is that your past jobs have taught you that you don't want to have to learn again?
I need to really enjoy what I do.
So you don't want to have to learn to enjoy what you do again? That doesn't sound right.
No. What it's taught me is that you need to enjoy your job in order to look at life differently. I see that if you're working somewhere and you're not happy there, it just kind of, you just don't feel that happiness within you.
Okay. So I'm going to half agree with you and half fundamentally disagree with you. Is that cool?
Okay. No, absolutely. That's
okay.
Why I'm calling.
So absolutely. So I completely agree that your experience of life, if you're enjoying your job, is just going to be much, much richer and fuller.
Correct.
Than if you're not. But it mm-hmm. sounds to me like you think that having that experience of enjoying your job is something to do with the job. And that's where I want to disagree with you. Because
okay.
here's how life looks to me. And this okay. is, it's kind of in the for what it's worth column, but it's actually, it's a little bit more than that, because I'm going to go a step further. It does look this way to me, but I'm also going to actually say it's true.
Hmm.
And it's that our experience of life is created 100% from the inside out, from thought and mind and consciousness in the moment.
Wow.
The mind is a projector, not a camera. It's not like we're looking at, we're filming two parties, and we're filming one party that looks really fun and we're filming another party that doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
We're projecting thought out into the world, experiencing it back via consciousness and the senses. And the whole thing is an experience of our own thinking. And so if we're, you know, thinking, whatever a lack of enjoyment is into the party or into the job or into the person, that's how we're going to experience them. And if we're thinking, if we're not thinking much, actually, it's not that we have to project joy. It's actually just when there's not much, we tend to just enjoy what's going on, because life's, you know, it's this never-ending newness.
Right.
It's this never-ending freshness. What's not to enjoy?
True.
So if that were the case,
mm-hmm.
if it wasn't in the job, then how would that affect, just in this moment, you're not stuck with anything. You know, look, with the best will in the world, until you call back, I'm not going to know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you can even lie to me.
But, oh, no, I wouldn't.
I know. But what occurs to you that would be different about your job search and about the whole thing about staying focused if you knew that it wasn't the job?
Yeah. I don't know. I've never looked at it that way.
Well, that might be fun to just sit with this week.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of start to see, boy, if it wasn't the job that mattered, if it was how much or little, I was replaying, you know, all my old thinking about it and listening, you know, I mean, look, it's going to replay, but, mm-hmm. you know, paying attention is the problem.
Right.
You know, background noise never hurt anyone.
Right. No, very true.
And just see what new things occur to you. Because very often, and this is part of the joy of a fresh start, very often in that space that opens up on the blank page, when the semi-permanent ink fades, because you realize, oh, that's not ink, mm-hmm. right? That's just patterns in the snow.
Right. Wow. Makes sense. I will definitely work on that this week.
Just play, you know what? And I'd love it. Go on Facebook, facebook.com/MNeil, okay. and just share. Just share your experience. Because it's, you know, and if somebody else is listening and you're in a similar situation, what if it wasn't the job? What if it wasn't the person?
Right.
Now, what's interesting, and this is, I'll just share a little bit of my experience, is mm-hmm. it doesn't mean you settle. It doesn't mean, it's terrible, but I'm supposed to be able to enjoy it anyways. That isn't the experience that comes. It's a very, very different experience. And I'm looking forward to hearing how it unfolds for you.
I will definitely get back to you. Thank
Brilliant.
You
Thank
so
you, Beatrice.
Much. Thank you. And you have a wonderful day. Thank you.
You too. And look, it's not an unusual thing that Beatrice has never thought about it like that. Most of us have never thought about it like that because that's not what we're taught. We're taught in all innocence by people who believe it that our feelings come from the world, that the way it works is stuff happens, and if it's good stuff, you feel good, and if it's bad stuff, you feel bad. And most people, though, when they get a little quieter, when they have another look, when they take a fresh look, they start to see, wow, but for my thinking, I'd be having a completely different experience of this. And I can have a great time in a situation that a lot of people think is horrible. And I can have a horrible time in a situation that a lot of people think is great. The variable's not the circumstance. The variable is my own state of mind. And my state of mind is just a product. It's a product of thought in the moment, of my level of consciousness, how real that thought is looking to me, and of my presence of mind, my connection to this larger oneness that we're all a part of, that we're all in together. So let's go from Vegas to Hawaii, and let us speak with, let's try this, Matavi. Matavi, welcome to the show. Tell me if I got your name right, and what are we going to talk about today?
Aloha, yay. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, you said it correctly. I'm surprised I got in. I just switched on the radio, and I heard what you were talking about, and wow, what's really in my mind lately and recently and has been is how to get clarity about my relationship. There's been some unhealthy patterns, and there is so much love in this relationship, and I really want it to last and make it work, and we both do. And in the meantime, what has been a struggle for me is that my partner has had relapses with his addiction to smoking. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it just triggers so much in me. And when we first got together, he was clear and we were very much on the same page. And I feel like the person that I met was different, or at least in a different space, and I know that we all changed. But when those patterns started coming, because it accompanied the smoking addiction, accompanied with a lot of hiding and lying and dishonesty, and this has been really hard for me, and it kind of has destroyed my trust. Oh yeah.
So can I ask you a couple questions, Matavi? So the first one is, when you have all that thinking about your partner smoking,
yeah.
Do you want to? I mean, is that like, do you think that's really good that I've got all this judgment and thought about it? Or do you kind of wish that you could sit outside of that and just, you know, see what he's going through for what it is, clean?
Sure. Above all, I just really want peace of mind, and I don't want outside things to bother my inner peace.
Right. And my guess is you find that really difficult, though, and you find yourself back in judgment again and again.
Yeah, yeah. It feels like no matter what I try, and I try to really work on myself and heal and look within and release and forgive, and I feel like I'm trying so hard, but when the situation kind of repeats itself or the pattern repeats itself, I end up feeling the same way, like, wow, like, what do I have to do?
So here's the question, Matavi. Why should he be better at it than you are? You can't break your habit, even though you really, really want to. Why should he be able to break his? Now understand, I'm not saying that it's great that he smokes and it's great that you judge him. You know, I'm not suggesting that, you know, these are great things and we should all just do lots of them. I'm suggesting that it's kind of part of the human condition to be stuck in habitual behaviors that you know don't serve you, but you don't seem to be able to change.
Yeah.
It's not a character flaw in one person that isn't in another. It just manifests differently in some people than others.
Right.
Now, here's what I also know. I know that when somebody is behaving in patterns, let's just say your perception is accurate. I don't know whether or not it is, but let's just say it is. You know, that he is withdrawing, he is hiding, he is doing this. Well, when people do that, it's because they're scared.
Right.
And they don't have another way of relating to those fearful feelings because they feel like they're coming at them from the outside. Now, when somebody starts to see the nature of fear, that all fear is thought appearing real.
Mm-hmm.
And they start to see the ephemeral nature of thought, that it's this incredible energy that just comes and creates and creates and creates. And when what it creates looks real to us, we freak out or we get excited. And when what it creates looks like thought, then it just kind of comes and it goes. And so as his level of thought recognition increases, as his consciousness rises, as he begins to see how it all works at a deeper level, he's naturally going to stop doing or just do less of the things that he does to cope with it, to cope with the feelings. Now, similarly, on the flip side, when you start to see that all that noise in your head that comes up when you see him smoke or you see him withdraw or you see him hide is just your thinking looking really important and real and like it has to be taken into account.
Mm-hmm.
And your relationship to that thinking begins to change and you start to see it for what it is, an incredibly, incredible creative power creating ephemeral thoughts that create real experiences in our body. Then you'll be able to start to see through that. You'll be able to start to see through the snow and the snow globe from your side. And you'll stop doing whatever the things that you do in the relationship are in response to that thinking that probably get in the way of the connection that the two of you have.
Mm-hmm.
So what you've got is you've got a really interesting task, and we're coming up on a break, so I'm going to try and get this succinct, is you're looking from a place of pure love through a snow globe filled with snow at somebody who's looking at you from a place of pure love through a snow globe filled with snow. And every now and again, you're able to catch each other's eye through the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do, you feel the love that you have for one another.
Mm-hmm.
And the solution isn't to work on the snow. It's to simply see it for what it is. It's thought. It's thought in the moment, and it'll come and it'll go. And if you can focus through the snow on the eyes of love, the love in you and the love in him, the snow will take care of itself.
Mm.
And you can have that fresh start in any moment.
Mm.
I'm going to have to leave it there, Matavi. Thank you so much for phoning in. We are going to be back with more of your calls and more thoughts on how to have a fresh start in life right after this quick break.
Transform your life today. Welcome to Super Coach with Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about a fresh start, and we're talking with you. Numbers to call 866-254-1579 in the US and Canada, 760-918-4300 from outside the country. Phil in London, you're going to be next in the queue. And just before I go to you, I want to talk a little bit more about this sort of projector versus camera. I'm actually doing a TED Talk about this in Oregon, in Bend, later in the year in April. But here's the thing. If the mind were a camera, there would be residue in it. There would be cached memories that even if we cleared the film, we would still be stuck with the hidden cache of the photos. They say they can find things that were on a computer no matter how many times the hard drive has been wiped. They can still find the residue of the pictures. Well, if the mind is a projector, there's no residue. It's just a new film. And it's each new film. All the projector is it's a system. And it's a system with a power source. And that's the mind itself is the projector, is the power source. It's this thing that creates experience. And there's consciousness, which is the light of the projector. And it's just light. It's just pure light. And there's thought, which is the content, the film. It's the substance of our experience. It's what we respond to and react to as if it's really happening up there on the screen. And there's no residue from yesterday's film. The only residue is that we kind of keep that film playing and we try to play new films on top of it. But the moment, the life of a thought is exactly as long as you think it. And the moment that thought isn't there anymore, there's no residue. You have a completely clean slate. You really do get to start from scratch each and every time. And that means that it doesn't matter so much if you get it wrong today. Because you get a fresh go tomorrow. And I'm not saying you're not going to probably have things to apologize for. I mean, Lord knows. I've gotten very good at apologizing over the years. But that's okay. When you bump into somebody inadvertently, it's nice to say sorry. And people are remarkably forgiving when they get the sincerity of the apology. And that kind of goodwill, it leads to some pretty wonderful relationships. So, all that said, let's pop out to London and let's talk with Phil. Phil, what are we going to talk about today?
Hi, Michael. It just occurred to me I've never heard you apologize.
Well. I don't know that I've done that much on the air, but if I've offended you, Phil, I'm sorry.
No, I've met you in person many moons ago. When you were doing your seven-day practitioner role. But I was calling to question you about resolutions.
Great. What's your question? Well, oh, okay, if you can turn your radio down. I think we get a little bit of a background echo there.
I haven't got a radio on.
Ah, well, that's weird then. But let's go for it.
Okay. A lot of people set intentions and resolutions a fresh start in January, and then invariably by February, it's forgotten.
I am also aware of that phenomenon.
So what would you suggest?
Well, I think the question for me would be, why is it that somebody is resolving something? And generally speaking, in my experience, people make resolutions because they think that there's something that if they started doing it or not doing it, it would be better. Life would be better. Their experience would be better. And it's a sincere desire, generally speaking, when somebody sets a resolution, but nothing's actually changed in the way the world looks to them. So if you think of the caller before the break who was talking about her boyfriend who smoked, right? If he resolves to stop smoking, let's say, and he really wants to, it's a sincere resolution, But all the thoughts that he has that create stress in his system that look real to him, that he smokes to relieve the stress of, haven't changed. Then essentially what he set up is a battle of pure willpower. Can I will myself to not make myself feel better while still thinking all the things that make me feel horrible in the first place? And that's just a losing game.
So going back to your latest book, Inside Resolution, Inside Out Resolution, a revolution, it's just, see, I'm saying resolution instead of revolution now.
Well, there's something lovely and Freudian there, but...
yeah, but it's a thought, basically.
Absolutely, and it's usually a well-intended thought. But it's a thought that kind of sets you up against yourself most of the time. Because you're saying, everything else is going to stay the same, but I'm going to try and change this. And effortless change, when things change, and it happens all the time, where people just stop doing something or just start doing something. And it's not a big deal. It's just one moment they were doing it and then they're not. One moment they weren't doing it and then they are, is always the result of an insight. They've seen something new. The world doesn't look the same to them anymore. And so the old behavior doesn't make sense anymore. So it's no longer an act of will that's changed their behavior. It's an insight. It's a new sight from within. If I am a heavy drinker and I suddenly realize that I'm drinking poison, I'm done. Doesn't matter how long I've been doing it.
And the same with the smoker, if he thinks it's carcinogenic.
Well, it's not so much if he thinks it's carcinogenic, because we all kind of theoretically know it's carcinogenic. But usually with something like smoking, in my experience, and with those kind of things, it's less about somebody suddenly seeing, oh, this is bad for me. I think most people kind of know that. It's seeing that whatever it is that it's designed to take care of doesn't need taken care of anymore.
Right.
So the source of my stress, when I see that the source of my stress is not my job, it's not my partner, it's not my childhood, it's my thoughts. And I start to recognize that part of the nature of thought is they come and they go. I don't have to do anything about them. It's like I used the analogy over the weekend. We did an evening talk called Thoughts. Know when to hold them and know when to fold them. And one of the things the analogies that came up on the night is the difference between being obsessed with which cookies come out of the oven and seeing that the nature of ovens is that whatever you put in the oven comes out baked or half-baked. And the nature of the mind is whatever thought goes in comes out as if it's real. And if we start worrying about it, if we start thinking, oh no, I've got to have these cookies instead of those cookies, and I must stop thinking these thoughts and eating these cookies, and I must stop creating chocolate chip and must start creating macadamia nut. Well, that's a lot of work. When I recognize the nature of ovens is whatever goes in comes out cooked, whatever thought comes through creates experience, then I don't really have to worry about it so much. And the best news, like the really, really good news, is that there's an intelligence behind the system. That when we stop going in and trying to tell the oven what to bake, higher quality cookies come through. The universal dough, the universal baker starts providing. I'm stretching this analogy, but you're still with me, I think. You know, the universe, it starts creating clearer and clearer and more insightful thought. And we have a richer and richer experience of life that comes out the other side.
Thank you so much, Michael.
An absolute pleasure, Phil. Thank you for phoning in.
All right. Goodbye.
All right. Take care. I was so tempted to apologize for not having apologized in front of him before, but I thought that just might sound facetious. Let's move forward. Let's go to Miami. We are traveling around the world and around the country today, and let's talk to Rowena. Hey, Rowena, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi, I am struggling
with my relationship, trying to get a fresh start. I've been in it for 28 years, and it just, I almost feel like there's some sort of obstacle, I don't know, but something in my past that's stopping us from moving forward. There's no fighting or argument going on. It's just very distant. And I'm a very spiritual person, but I need to start over, and I need help.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, Rowena. What do you think would come from a fresh start?
I think just to gain closeness and friendship. It seems to have gone out the window.
Mm-hmm. And so if you wanted to be, so stay with me. I'm gonna just try and take this piece by piece. So forget about the specifics of you and your partner for the moment. If a kid came to you and said, do you have children?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So if one of your kids came to you when they were kids and said, Mom, I really want to be friends with this person at school. What advice would you give them?
Give them attention, be nice, validate them.
Okay. And what if they came back and they made friends with that person? They were nice to them. They paid attention to them. They validated them. And they came back and they said, but Mom, there are things about my friend that I don't really like. I don't want to validate the way they behave when I don't like their behavior.
Well, we're all different and we all have different habits and we don't have to like everything each other does.
Okay.
But we have to accept that's the way they are or that's what they want.
And if they said, Mom, what's the most important thing about friendship? How do I know I've got a true friend?
Well, I know I have a true friend when I can talk to them about anything. I can count on them. They're there for me. They don't have to give me anything except time and caring. A good friend is there when you need one.
Okay. And what if they asked you, this is the last one. What if they asked you, Mom, I keep trying with my friend and they keep not being there for me and I don't know how long should I keep trying? How do I know when to stop trying? What would you say to them then?
Oh, I almost feel like I'm the little kid trying. Well, sometimes you can try and try, and if it fails, you can just leave it alone. And, you know, you can still be that person's friend, but you can't make somebody be a friend. Mm.
So let me ask you this, Rowena, me to you now, instead of imaginary kid to you. Is there any reason that you can think of not to be there for your partner, to reach out to them, to be a friend to them, and to see what comes of it and to enjoy that good feeling that just comes from being a friend, from coming from that place. Even though they may or may not respond the way that you'd love them to respond.
Well, that's the way I feel right now. It's that I'm always there. And it's almost like when I need to talk, he's not there. I mean, he's physically here. It's just mm-hmm. he's mentally not.
And, you know, it's confusing because we love each other. I feel his love, but the friendship is not there.
Let me ask you, this is almost, it might seem like a sideways question, but let's give it a try. What, I'm trying to think how to phrase this. How do you make your decisions in life? Do you make them from a place of knowing more of the time, or do you make them from a place of gathering data and, you know, like the scales of justice and making your decision based on what the scales of justice say?
My decisions are usually based on experience, intuition. I think I'm very intuitive.
Okay.
And also facts.
Oh, tell me a little bit about facts. Those sound interesting.
Facts are things I've found or things that somebody has said or he has said.
So let me back it up, and I'm kind of going quicker than I might normally go, just because I'm on the radio, and that's how we do it here. But what do you think would happen if you trusted that you've got an intelligence, a deeper intelligence, a deeper knowing, a deeper intuition, if you like, that will let you know when enough is really enough, if that point ever exists? Like if you knew, like I did, I'll give you an example. When I'm in meetings with people, if I'm out and about, I set a timer on my phone before the meeting. And that way I don't have to think about it. I don't have to worry about, I don't have to check my watch. I don't have to check the clock. I don't have to worry about, gee, what if we get caught up and we forget? And so consequently, I'm able to really be where I am without any attention on the time, because I've got the timer set. So I know it'll let me know when it's time to move. My experience is that we have a built-in intelligence, and part of the power of that intelligence is this timer, this timing mechanism. That lets us know when it's time for a change. And that means that we can stop worrying about whether or not it's time for a change or how long we should keep going, because it'll let us know. And that leaves us free to do what it occurs to us to do. And in relationship, and this is, I'm not talking at the universal level, I'm just talking about how it looks to me. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me that what makes for a great relationship is the feeling of connection, the flow of good feeling between us, our capacity to enjoy each other's company. And all the other stuff about what we think should be there and shouldn't be there and how they should behave and how we should behave, that usually just gets in the way of it. And we have a wisdom that will stop us being taken advantage of or getting swept up in a good feeling. And the reason we get swept up in a good feeling and do stupid things is because we think that the good feeling comes from the other person. We don't recognize that the relationship is an amplifier, not a producer. That the good feeling is in us and in the relationship, it just gets reflected back, and so we feel it more.
It really makes sense. You said something to me that kind of opened up my eyes, and you're right. We all do have a built-in timer, and maybe it's my fear that my time is coming where I'm reaching that point where enough is enough. And let's do something for Rowena. But I have to think about that, and I think it makes a lot of sense to me.
And in the meantime, and this is just a suggestion. If you look to that, if you look to that timer, instead of worrying about when it's going to go off, you just trust it to go off when it does. And in the meantime, you just let yourself enjoy what you got as best you can, knowing that you don't have to make that decision. It'll tell you. It'll tell you when and if. Then that's something you can do for Rowena right now, is stop worrying about it.
I needed that. Thank you.
Thank you, Rowena. You know, we're all a bit, you know, we're all a bit like that. We think we got to wait. We think it's an either or. We think it's, you know, we think it's something that we've got to do, that we've got to take responsibility for, that we've got to keep our eye on, lest we be hurt, lest we make a terrible, terrible mistake. But the truth is, it's already there for us. Everything we need's already there. It's innate. Our well-being, our health, our peace. That's the preset. That's part of the blank page. We don't need to create that. That's ours. Everything that we create is on top of that and from that. And when we allow what we create to be ephemeral, when we don't think we have to create permanence, that we have to create once and for all feelings and once and for all decisions and once and for all resolutions, then we're free to go back to that factory default, to go back to that blank page, to go back to that inner, I want to make a pun about innocence, like inner sense and innocence. And from that innocence, our inner sense will guide us and it will take us forward. And have a look. Don't take my word for it. Don't try to do it. Check and see. Because you've heard it in the callers today. There was a point in every call, I think. I'll have to go back and listen. But I think there was a point in every call where somebody just saw it for themselves. And then it stops being me talking. And it starts being you listening to that inner wisdom. You waking up to what's already there. Just recognizing, oh my gosh, I have this incredible capacity. I have this blank slate. I have this oven. I have this projector. And I don't have to do anything about it because there's an intelligence behind it. There's a deeper guiding principle that's creating my life. And I get to just enjoy and experience it. And the one thing that I can do is that when I look to the nature of it, when I begin to understand it at a deeper level, when I begin to get a feel for how it works, I get to experience more joy, more peace, more of that innate health and innate well-being. More creative energy pours through me. I become more resilient. And I get to live a brand new day every single day. So I hope you enjoyed the show. We're going to be back with a new one next week. If you like what you hear, check us out online. Subscribe to the free tips at supercoach.com. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/MNeil. Twitter, Michael_Neil. Until next time, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.